It is Wednesday already. Dr. Richard Allen Miller is with us his first 60 minutes tonight. Rick is a brilliant man, extremely well-informed. In fact, he's all over the map with his wisdom and facts and factoids, and he's got a view on most everything. Richard lives in Southern Oregon, but he is a citizen of the world, certainly this country, which is sinking. The retail in this country is dying. Wall Street is finally coming back down out of the clouds, cloud cuckoo land to be exact. It's down 15,000 and something, down I think 250 points or thereabout today, and due to go down further. 2016, in all likelihood, will be the crash people have been predicting for the last several years. It's looking everywhere around the globe as if this year is going to be one of great reckoning, chickens coming home, and much worse. We have the increased invasion of Europe, which is now scheduled for a second wave. Mrs. Merkel turning out to be the Polish Jew communist that people talk about her as being, who hates Germany. No question about it, according to many of the MPs there. One of them said Mrs. Merkel needs to close the borders to illegal immigrants. Well, 1 + 1 = 2 in German as well, doesn't it? Same situation here. We have 45 to 50 million, all told, illegals in this country. No one knows exactly how many Muslims Obama has illegally brought into this country and other. He's not saving Christians. That's another thing you got to keep in mind. There are about 2 million Christians in Syria. About 100,000 of them have been butchered to date, but none of them have been singled out for any special or equal treatment by the administration, which is run by, in all likelihood, a card-carrying Muslim. Well, at least he's carrying a card of the oldest Chicago gay bathhouse for men. We know that. He may not be carrying a card for his Muslim citizenship, but he's got an agenda, no question about it. Unless we stop this now, it is over. We would seem to have one chance left. His name is Trump. We'll watch the campaign season that continues as it continues to unwind to see more solid pronouncements from him about his policies. What he has said already, if he were to do as president, would make him an historic figure, truly, of immense magnitude. We will see. Rick, welcome back to the program. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. Thank you for an earlier call. It's nice to talk with you.
Sure. Crazy, huh,
out there? Where would you like to go in the end of days?
Yeah.
I mean, the massive Planet X is now in national news. There it is, just like in the Bible. And I don't have a clue yet. I sent you a couple of breaking links. There is a guy named Andy Lloyd that did a nice review of the Caltech disclosure today.
Uh-huh.
His, you know, you can read from that. That's an interesting post. And then I pulled up his site to find out more who Andy Lloyd was, because he was being semi-reasonable in the way he was approaching the disclosure. You know, NASA came out 3 months ago and said that there were a series of planets, plural,
right,
outside the Oort cloud that were swinging around the sun as a second subset of planets.
Yeah, and they've been hinting. They've been dropping hints for quite a while.
Make the public ready for the big one.
Yeah.
How did they put it in Armageddon when the engineer gets out of his chair and he says, I'm going to sit up front and have a front row seat and break the horror. Uh-huh. You know?
It's true.
What it is true is Blue Kachina, which the Hopi thing about, and if you go back to Colburn Bibles, the ones that Luke and others used when they were disciples of Christ, they all talk about Nibiru. And so there it is. And
I like the term that they've hung on it, Planet Nine.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
I like that.
Ten and eleven, and what's that asteroid belt? And some of those planetoids are solid diamonds out there. You know, That's why they're out there.
Lucy in the sky with diamonds, eh?
Yeah, solid diamonds, big ones. And guess what? There are things harder than diamonds. That was something that I discovered in the early 70s, thinking it was an alien artifact at the University of Chicago. I was looking at this object, artifact of some kind, and it literally was 100 times the strength of diamond, and we had no technology back then. I was a solid-state physicist. I basically fired a 50-caliber cannon at it and then went down with an electron microscope looking for lattice damage. And what I discovered was I couldn't understand what I was looking at. And today, 45 years later, here I am, I now can tell you what I saw. But we didn't have that back then. It's called the fullerene, buckyball. And they form nanotubes, and their strength is so strong. I've written technical papers that nobody seemed to be terribly interested in as a neutron fullerene fusion bomb that was used in 9/11 and now is being deployed everywhere in Gaza, Yemen, and places of that nature. You could put a nanofiber tubule in a length of steel in an aircraft to make it strong like they do these bicycles and then detonate it where there is no forensics. Nothing. It vaporizes. That's
oh, really? Wow. Gone.
When Building 7 came down, there was a 617-foot piece of steel rod straight up that started to fall in the...
Oh, I watched that many times. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but as it was falling, it was vaporizing. Now, that is not thermite.
Not normal physics.
No. Man with thermite. The thermite wouldn't do that. No, there's only one thing.
It turned to dust.
It vaporizes. There's only one thing that'll do that. It's a plasma. And what they're doing is they're taking a C60 molecule, a 60 carbon atom, and they'll form ball. There's another one at 120, so they call that C120. These are buckyballs. And the lattice space between them is 1.4 nanometers, which is just enough to squeeze either deuterium inside it for a controlled thermonuclear fusion. Bomb. That's the structure. It's strong enough it will withstand and control. I have a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger looking at the target at the Livermore's National Ignition Facility. Go ahead and pull up Schwarzenegger and the National Ignition Facility in Livermore and see the pictures of Schwarzenegger looking at the target. That, what they're doing now in Ukraine is rather than putting deuterium inside it, it'll just fit. They're putting in exclusion zone water, H3O2, and that forms something that is way beyond shogunite and activated charcoal that will bioremediate ionizing radiation from the body. What they have done in the Ukraine and now duplicating in Russia is that they will give lethal doses of radiation to rats and feed them fullerene water. That's what it's called, fullerene water. Huh. And there is a 95% recovery.
Wow.
And that's because what happened, and that was published, by the way, in Nexus Magazine, probably about 4 issues back.
Good old Duncan hit it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But now here's the deal. Fullerene water is easy to make because the exclusion zone water, H3O2, that's basically what Jerry Pollack it's been writing about, the fourth phase of water out of the University of Washington. And by the way, Jerry was the one that hired me in 1970 when I was working military. And I worked out of anesthesiology. He was my lead. He was not my boss. I had higher security clearances. So I worked around the corner, boys from Brazil. That included Delgado and Moore and some other names I could name drop on, where we were doing military studies on different things. But interestingly, Jerry's water, that H3O2, that's hydrogen peroxide, where you bring a third hydrogen molecule in. And that water is what causes the leading edge on a wave and why you can surf. Now, that is what touches, that's where your memory zone is, what they call the exclusion zone, not forbidden zone like we find in solid state physics. When you take gallium and arsenic and you put them together, there is, between the two of them, a thing called forbidden zone. This is your checksum error registry where you do your storage of information. And water's exclusion zone is 1 million times more efficient because it's 1 million times more data. Now, that would suggest that the water in your body contains who you were and who you are and who you will be in past, present, and future life.
Pretty eclectic stuff, Rick.
Plus, it includes timelines. And let me explain the concepts of the nature of time and water.
Hold on. Can we hold that? You're going to do something very, very big and very dynamic here. But a lot of people have not heard yet about the new planet that has been admitted to hang out outside the normal outer orbit of Pluto. It's way out there. Let me read just a little bit here. And by the way, I didn't get your email, so if you want to resend those.
I post the references on this with your producer. But yes, I'll do that right now.
Okay. You all remember, I think, maybe some of you will remember, I should say, Plan 9 from Outer Space, the 1959 movie directed by Ed Wood, played so brilliantly by Johnny Depp in the movie, Ed Wood. Plan 9 from Outer Space. They're calling this new planet, which is way out there. I'm not sure how far out there. Planet 9. This is kind of an interesting little tribute to that movie that was so bad it was good. In 1959, the CNN story talks about Pluto may have a replacement. Well, this is no Pluto. This planet is supposed to be 10 times the mass of Earth. That's big, real big. And it orbits about 20 times farther from the sun than does Neptune. That means it would take this new planet between 10 and 20,000 years to make just one full orbit around the sun. I don't know if the orbit is circular or elliptical. I haven't seen that yet. It's what? It's very elliptical.
They've got it down now. And guess what? There's several out there, not just one. And one of them has an interesting IR signature. And this is new data I'm going to now lay on you from some friends of mine at JPL. This, I have some old friends of mine that we dialogue with each other. Now, let me tell you, the IR signature of this 7X indicates that it's at least 5.5 times the size of Earth in density and weight. That means it's got to be made out of solid nickel, or it is a collapsed dwarf binary.
It may have its own heat source too.
Well,
we don't know.
The heat source thing now is going to suggest that there is an artifact around it called a Dyson sphere.
Huh.
And that may be where your Nibiru is using that collapsed binary as a power source to be able to go outside into the universe and access other kinds of wormholes.
Huh.
I don't know this. I'm just speculating. But the IR, the infrared countermeasures, is what I did at Boeing. And and this IR signature is suggesting it is not a collapsed binary, that if it is, it's got an artifact around it.
Somebody's using it.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that is. That's pretty advanced technology.
The hopey thing about it, now here's where it gets really interesting. You look at cave drawings from 3,000 and 4,000 years ago, like the Clovis culture, they came out of the cave and rode about and became the Hopi Indian. You look at this bison and you think, oh, well, they were cavemen hunting bison. No. Actually, if you take a closer look, it turns out to be a star constellation, and all those dots around its eye correspond exactly to star constellations of that object.
Huh.
Further, if you go back 30,000 years into caves, you find the same drawings, except they're in reverse, and that suggests they were witnessing it from space. We have been here before. We are about to have the end of days, the end of the sixth epoch. It is around the corner, and you can watch the one percenters and the money, and what they're doing for this. And my guess is
they're going under, is what they're doing.
Well, that's one direction. Oh, you know, you can leave orbit. That's Leary. Space migration, intelligence increase, longevity extension. Smile. And let me say this. Mars is already habited because I'm already doing projects for the Mars Project. I have in Kailua, you know, Ashland Deliverances, you know, right there in Ashland, PacificDomes.com. We have a 30-foot dome in Kailua that we printed with a 3D printer and lined it with cadmium, and now I have a vertical aquaculture system for underground farming on Mars. And that's the Mars Project in Kailua. Now, there are a series. Yeah, it gets better and better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
NASA.
You're wild.
Their document, the document that came out, the NASA document, the future weapons of war, the war after next, that one. Yeah, that runs it down on what's going to happen on 16, and it's dead on with the stock markets. And what it said on 16, 2017 is when we have global, and by 2025, everything is in chaos. And they end that with bots and Borgs, and they say that by 2050, there will be no such thing as a human being. It will be the human project and the Avatar program. And that's the way it's playing.
Well, it's moving along pretty fast. I can see it. I can see it happening. Things are changing so fast.
They've been accurate on predicting that stuff. The last one they did 20 years ago, I remember... what was that called? Secret Weapons for Silent Wars. You can look it up there.
Silent Weapons for Secret Wars.
Yeah, okay. That was in a very interesting book called Secret and Suppressed by Feral Press.
It was also reprinted in Cooper's book.
Well,
Behold a Pale Horse, he reprinted it. Silent Weapons for Secret Wars. Yeah.
Yeah, that was their one 25 years ago. This is the new one that they're coming out with production.
And what's it called?
It's called Secret Weapons for... that's called the
new one.
Next, let's say the war, Secret Weapons of War, the War After Next. And I'll send you I'll send you that. It's a NASA document, NASA release.
Okay.
I thought you had that. I'll get it. I thought everybody had that. I've been quoting it for...
I may have it. I don't know what I have.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and...
Planet Nine. They're calling it again 10 times the mass of Earth. This thing, as Rick said, has a, they're saying, bizarre, highly elongated orbit. And my question is, with so many astronomers on this planet, amateur and professional, how has that eluded detections when they're able to find things that you can't see with the naked eye? Can it be that it's not...
that part is covered, that explanation, it's valid, is covered in that first link I gave to you from, what's-his-face? Let me bring him back up. By the way, I'm sending you that document right now. It's 4 megabytes, so sorry about that. But it's a read, and let me say this about that. It's creepy.
Wasn't that Nixon that said that?
What's that?
Didn't Dick Nixon say, let me say this about that? Was that Dick Nixon?
As a matter of fact, he got it from me. I worked for Dr. Carl Schleicher during his period, and for 2 years I had to go into the Oval Office and report once a week. That's what I did when I worked at the Pentagon, and I got to know him. He was very bright.
Who? But
Nixon.
Yeah, I heard he was bright. So you're talking about
really
Dick.
Bright.
Okay.
He got everything I had to say. Yeah. I went in each week and say, this is what we know, this is what we don't know, and this is what I'm worried about. And mostly it was about Czechoslovakian psychic discoveries and all the shit that they were doing over there in Russia.
In the 1960s, they were way ahead.
Dr. Milan Rizal, I was the guy that debriefed him when he defected. He had a bunch of thugs. I think they were Albanians. They were constantly following him around. He got creeped out. He died this last year. My ESP book was dedicated to him because when I debriefed him in my home in Seattle, I have that actual recording of debrief on Dr. Milan Rizal. He then later, after he was part of the U.S., he taught down at UC Irvine, I think it was.
How interesting. So the Ostrander and Schroeder were the first people to really give the average American a look at what was going on the psychic wars field.
They have two pages on me in their second book on psychic discoveries inside North America.
Russia. And North America. Yeah.
They have a second book on that. Yeah, the Russia one was their first one.
I never saw the second one. How interesting. Well, that's quite a tribute. Congratulations.
There I am.
Very good, Rick. All right. Who'd have thunk it? Back in a minute. Hold on, gang. We have to pause just for a couple. Very, very esoteric first hour, as always, with Richard Allen Miller. And Dr. Miller and I will be right back. Okay, never been a big fan of the name Nibiru or Planet X, but now we have Planet 9. That's the official recognized name of the officially recognized planet. And Rick says that there are probably more than that one out there. And if it comes by every 10 to 20,000 years, that would certainly lock up with much of the mythology about Planet 9 as known in its other incarnations.
I think that the asteroid belt and Mars were previous epochs, and that we're going to discover there's a lot more going on to be discovered in the next couple of years.
I believe it. Sure.
This thing is coming in off ecliptic. It'll come in around Neptune, and that's why it's hard to say.
Is it going to pass through, so to speak, through the solar system rather than skirt the edges of it on its ellipse?
I don't know.
Because, if it goes through, that's going to vindicate Velikovsky, and the electronics of a huge body like that racing through this solar system is going to cause a lot of chaos electromagnetically. Huge.
It's going to cause more than that. How about Greg Bear? There's a good science fiction reader, Aeon and Epoch. And those are both worth reading because the Epoch one is about when that very thing happens and the mantle changes. Now, what the mantle is 100 miles down. That means nothing survives, including bacterium, down a lava tube 2 miles. I'm going to 2 miles down into the earth because the mantle is 100 miles.
Wow. That's going to fry the New World Order in its caves down there.
Well, stay tuned. It depends on where the perihelion is and in terms of where it comes through as to how bad, like what it's going to do for sure is affect our sun. And that affects everything on Earth. And so you can, right now, suspicious observers talking about a huge hole opening in the bottom of our sun because of this.
Well, we got to remember back to the age of the dinosaurs and how many times Planet 9 has made its way around or through the outer reaches. Maybe, God, if it went through the inner reaches, imagine. But it's come back every 10 to 20,000 years for millions and, God knows, billions of years, all right?
Well, actually, it comes back more frequently than that. Actually, it comes back 3,647 years.
Boy, is NASA lying about this? They can certainly figure trajectories.
Wow, what about that secret?
Then NASA never lies, Rick. Come on. NASA never lies to us. We know that.
And all those billions of missing money and Rumsfeld, yeah, you bet. Well, I can tell you.
Remember, Plan 9 from Outer Space. Great film. Bela Lugosi's last film.
I love campy old movies. I love that because they
did you see Ed Wood? Them. Did you see Ed Wood?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, that's awesome. Movie. Yeah.
I remember when David Bowie fell from Earth, and that was in 1967, 1 year before Frank Herbert wrote Doom. And so Bowie has been right, and his latest album, Go Figure. What do you think the name means? Dark Star? There it is. Rate it and weep.
Huh.
And it's been in the news and the alternative medias for 30 years, just like back in the 1900s when Golden Dawn was doing things before the Rome was publishing about the Yazidi and the Stargate. So I have worked in the highest echelons in military, and I know I don't have a pay. My pay grade isn't high enough to know what's going on, and I'm a GS-18, which means I'm a 2-star general equivalent, and I don't know, and I don't know at all. Mm. How does that work? Mm. Well, here we are. And the thing that bothers me the most is that, like in that movie, The Day After Tomorrow, by the way, The Day After Tomorrow is going to happen. The desalinization of the ocean is occurring right as we speak.
Huh.
The stream is gone, and the Earth needs to reboot.
Uh-huh.
With this object and all the rest of what the sun is doing,
uh-huh,
weather changes, here we are going to have a day after tomorrow, and there, that you can survive that one. I don't know about Nibiru. I don't know how that's going to play. You know, the asteroid belt is in Gemini.
How do we find out more about this, Joe? Are we at the mercy completely of NASA? I guess we are, in Caltech.
Yeah. Well, they came up because they had to. It wasn't that they wanted.
All right, this thing is going to become visible at some point. It's in IR now.
Well, the infrared signatures are kind of weird. That's the part that's so interesting.
Is that why the Vatican built that big IR scope in Arizona years ago? Huge still.
I can only speculate. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ask Rome.
Yeah, right. Ask that creepy
priest and pedophilia.
Creepy pedophile pope. Does that guy give you the creeps like he does me?
What's that?
The pope. He's creepy. The current one. Yeah, the last one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
What does that mean?
He's a globalist. Come on. Listen to his words.
People are starting to get the fact that Doubting Thomas was part of the Bible, just like all the rest of it,
mm-hmm,
and that we have been politically manipulated, mind-controlled, and otherwise spindled, mutilated, and
mercilessly
to laptops. That's what they're going. NASA is suggesting that is our future. And that we're going to be turned into individual laptops. That's why they have the heavy metals going into your body from geoengineering. That's why they have what that's called a bio API.
They're not going to chip us. They're going to turn us into
laptops.
Walking laptops.
You already are. What do you think? What do you think, shape-shifting? Is about. It's liquid crystals projecting a holographic screen. It's a little different than the technology we currently use for still.
Okay.
And the bottom line is, there's technologies at play here that are above my scope, and I can't be snowed. So with that said, you know, the chapter in my newest book is called Rock the Casimir, or Adventures in Time Travel. And if I can figure out knot theory and how membranes interface with each other like a quantum foam in a holographic universe,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to suggest that advanced technology is now using liquid crystals to do something like They Live, where they have a mask over themselves and you can't see what they really are.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I'm going to be the first to tell you, as a scientist, I personally think we've been invaded by something.
I'm not going to argue that either.
And the way Carl Sagan put it, one of my teachers, he said, oh, yeah, terrible waste of space. They're much further away and much closer than you can imagine. That was the whole principle of contact with outside space time.
Very interesting comment. Yeah. All right, hold on. I got to do a little more business here, then we'll come right back. Dr. Richard Allen Miller, amazing Dr. Miller, back with you in just a minute. Okay, back with Dr. Richard Allen Miller, PhD, physics, solid state physics, and a tremendous career. Used to see Mr. Nixon in the Oval Office and talk to him Did he take that? Now, this whole story of him taking Jackie Gleason in Florida to see the ET bodies has always been one of great intrigue. I know, yeah, I know you didn't discuss that with him, but I believe it. Gleason built his house to look like a flying saucer. That's no accident.
Listen, Jackie Gleason, Ernie Kovacs, you go way back.
Oh yeah.
You know, with Rochester, and I go way back. That's how old I am. And the early TV one, Howdy Doody, was on a 3-inch screen. That was
Buster Brown shoes.
Yeah.
What was that? I can't remember. I've seen some videos of that. Buster Brown shoes with Andy Devine. Can't remember the name of it.
Doc died. He lives there too.
Well, no, I saw the you can see him on YouTube.
I know. Isn't that weird? Yeah, that's me and my eidetic memory. I can see him in my mind. I was really lucky and cursed. You know,
folks, and you can get Jack Benny programs now all on MP3, and from the 1930s till the 1950s, he was absolutely fabulous.
Let's fabulous. Talk about Amos and Andy.
No,
who dat?
That's right. Freeman Goslin, and I forget his name. And also Fred Allen and Jack Benny's War was classic comedy. This stuff's timeless. Rochester, what a wonderful man. Just amazing stuff.
Well, what's timeless is when the devil made me do it.
Yeah.
But we are right now. I'm going to recommend anybody listening to me right now is going to need to have at least 3 days of water in your household tomorrow morning, and for everyone in your household, and have a replacement plan tomorrow on how to replace it the first day. We are going to have a grid collapse. As this thing comes in, it's going to fry the sun, and the sun is going to burp. It isn't going to be an EMP spike. Matt Stein and I are doing urban survival work.
We got to remember, though, Rick, excuse me, we have to remember that if all this plays out, and if its orbit is 3,800 years or 10,000 years, and it is highly elliptical, and it does come through or very near the outer reaches of the solar system, it is going to have a tremendous impact. Yes, however, it has done this thousands and thousands of times throughout Earth history.
Well, I don't know.
4.5 billion years. Four and a half billion years.
Yeah, and we've had epochs, you know, with a flood and other kinds of events that changed the face of the Earth.
And what caused Val Marineris on Mars? It looks like, I mean, if Velikovsky's right, it was an enormous electrical spark, so to speak.
Plasma universe. That's, yes, the idea that the Grand Canyon is a discharge result from arcs from space.
I don't think the Grand Canyon is. That's erosion. But the one on Mars is very, very suspicious.
As it turns out, Jeff, there is a new theory that is absolutely suggesting it was a discharge.
Really?
And that's, yeah.
All right.
All you have to do is look at it from space, and you'll get it. The way it arcs around the Grand Canyon, yes. Not erosion, no. And right now, we're at the possible end of days with Greenland melting all of their ice. It's a special kind of ice. And it's desalinating the oceans. And what did we have in the North Pole? It was 70 degrees above normal. And the South Pole, two months ago, was at 67 degrees, where weather is the hottest that Oregon has ever had in any kind of recorded history ever.
Hottest 2015 was the hottest year on record in the world.
In the world, for everywhere.
Yeah.
And it gets better with what's going to happen this year.
I have to get my Hawaiian shirts out.
We have astronomical events that are affecting our sun, and that sun and its, you know, EMP spikes, the coronal mass ejections, all the rest of it, they absolutely affect our technology. And the first thing that's going to happen is a grid collapse. We're doing a 3-day event in the city of Hollywood is sponsoring it. in March 18th through the 20th. You're And friends are invited. You're most welcome to come down. It's going to be an event because they're going to do a premiere showing of Petrea Patrick's thing with Matt Stein on Dark Start and Offline on the Santa Barbara grid when it collapsed and what happened next. There are congressmen that are involved in this. None of you are prepared for what is about to happen. And there will be blood. That's why you put your greenhouse in. You know, that's the first thing you need to do is start thinking about food after you've got water. Water will be what makes you have to join FEMA. And probably the way FEMA went in last year, they said it was going to be an 8.4 earthquake off the coastline of Eureka, California.
Yeah.
And it's going to drop the entire coast. Similar to the map that we are currently using, military uses, which is Chet Snow's future map of the world. There are others, there's Scallion and Edgar Casey and others, but the one the military is using right now is the one that Chet Snow set. And Grants Pass becomes new waterfront.
I haven't seen Chet's. I saw Scallion's years ago.
I'll give you a picture on that next when I get a moment to not be talking.
Yeah.
We have a situation happening, and the media is not about to tell you. In the movie, The Day After Tomorrow, there's this fat guy in the Capitol that says, well, we're not going to tell the public for their own good, because all they'll do is panic. He's correct, except he's not as smart as me, and who makes that decision for me? And that's the part I have a problem with, and that's why I am a magician and have evoked Lieber Oz. And this crap that's going on in Burns, Oregon, just down the street from us, this whole thing is BS on all kinds of levels. What is actually happening on Burns and Bundy Ranch had to do with BLM giving our natural resources to China to pay off our debt. And they've already taken over Canada. And what they do up in Canada, China runs all the utilities. That is what it's all about. Get a grip.
No, very interesting. All right, what happens, you raise Burns up as an issue. What happens in Burns, Rick?
What's that?
What happens in Burns? The big announcements today are not encouraging.
They're telling the hospital, already prepped the hospital for blood, plasma,
that's right.
Helicopter, da-da-da-da-da, because they're expecting a bloodshed.
Well, they don't have to go in there and do that. They can use Hellfire missiles from a Predator drone.
Well, yeah.
They want to have martyrs, though. They want to have martyrs that they can point to. That's my view.
Yeah, how did the Paiute put it to Ammon Bundy? Yeah, stand in line.
Yeah.
But the United States has never kept any treaty or promise they've made to anybody.
No.
Including
the
public.
We are the great Satan, especially to the public. God.
And
they've been
are.
Dousing us in bacteria since the 1950s. Look at the Tuskegee experiments on those black airmen. Come on, this government or alleged government is not a government that most people would even begin to understand. No way.
Have you even looked at the NETC.com lately on what's happening in Ashland, Oregon?
What's happening?
Well, RADCON 4 level alerts. There's radiation now in everything.
Well, I can pick it up with my trusty, dusty Geiger counter, I'm not seeing CPM that is over the top here. I'm seeing 40 to 50. That's all.
Your background radiation for Ashland right now should be around 14 count. And you're showing over 40. That's RADCON 2. RADCON 3 is pretty much what's happening when you fly from Asia to LAX. And actually, Lorraine Murray gave me some top secret documents. I don't know why she chose me. I started reading them, and there's a body count with Navy aircraft fatiguing because of the ionizing radiation and what it's doing to the gaskets and the non-metal parts of the aircraft. The aircraft metal itself is fatiguing.
It's fatiguing. Yeah.
So here we are with a whole bunch of things. And who is telling you about any of this stuff?
You.
Well, no, I don't know. I all I can do is connect one. I don't know. I'm just connecting one dot from another and watching my liver functions and checking my blood panels for aluminum, barium, and oh yeah, lithium. You know, they deployed lithium up in Reedsport 2 months ago.
Really?
As a check, yeah, to see if they could lock down a city that might be in unrest because they didn't have water. You know, if the grid collapses, none of your...
How are they going to deliver it? That's the big question. How are they going to deliver it? How are they going to deliver the water?
Well, FEMA. That's why they have
their... Yeah, but I mean, how's FEMA going to deliver the water for 5 million people in L.A.?
They won't. And that's why they evacuate as a way to take over the land and declare martial law.
Where are they going to evacuate to?
Well, here in Oregon.
Due west? They'll just keep moving west. I got it. They'll keep moving west, right? Due west. That's a joke. 32, 34, 30 CPM. Not too bad. 28, well, not bad at all. 22, how's that? All right. Rick, thank you for being here, as always. It's more than stimulating, actually overwhelming, and we appreciate
it.
Well, it's past time to wake up, and just you couldn't be more right about that. Wow. Thank you, my friend. Talk soon. Okay. All right, there goes Rick Miller, and one of a kind, as they say. Solid-state physics, PhD, and... Man about town, and then some. We will be back with more.